This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and a warm welcome back to the Sky Blues Extra podcast brought to you by the Sky Blue Tavern and Dylan's Brewery. Dean here in control of the buttons this week alongside Dave Moore. Dave, how are we doing?
Yeah, very well. All good.
Good to see you. And hopefully turning up from the start this week, I don't know if he's here, he might be, hopefully, is Ross Spence. Ross, come in.
I'm here. Hello.
He's here from the start, from the off. You missed so much last week.
Yeah, I know, it was pretty hectic. There's a few technical errors, but bit rough. It was a bit rough to start with.
Telling me, I was up till about midnight editing it.
I'm just finding my feet like the rest of the team at the minute, aren't I?
A few early season teething problems, trying to
getting my match fitness ready, mate. That was all.
Yeah, well, it's looking good to start off proceedings this evening. So welcome along. Let's go, Dave. First of all, thoughts on the week. It's a pretty quiet week, really, in Coventry City terms, wasn't it?
Yeah, nothing really happened. Not much at all. I think everyone's still been getting over Hamer, and a fixture was like what we needed, really, wasn't it? Like, I know we had one straight after, but it still had the fallout, didn't we, of obviously a great win. But yeah, this week, pretty much not a lot going on, was there, really? All quiet on all fronts. Everyone hard at work.
A few new songs trying to be made up on Twitter. That's probably the highlight of the week, as usual. Yeah.
Did you have a favourite?
None of them. I hate everybody's songs. They just do my head in. It's getting to a point. It's very tedious now, I feel.
Yeah. No, it's... I don't know how they used to start. They just used to happen in a pub somewhere,
yeah, exactly.
On a match day.
Yeah, back of a fag packet or on a bar mat.
But one thing that I've got to say is... There's a couple of like youngsters, obviously, that have their videos are shared and stuff. Isn't it great to see young kids actually singing Coventry City songs rather than walking, you know, around the city centre on a match day in Liverpool shirts?
Glory, Man United.
Yeah, it's changed.
Or Chelsea's one song.
So, no, it's great to see, you know, so many youngsters getting involved in the Sky Blues. And...
Ross, any songs written by you this week, or any rumours, shall we say, from your friend's dog who used to work at McDonald's who once served Doug King?
I try and stay out of the song making thing, to be honest. I think it gets a bit hectic, doesn't it, the whole situation with that. I think fair play to Ben Wise's little lad. His lad's come up with quite a few good songs, hasn't he, on Twitter?
Yeah.
Shout out to his little lad. I remember when I actually first met Ben at Middlesbrough away when we won in the semi-final of the cup, and his little lad, and he's a great little lad in person as well. You could just tell he's so passionate about the city. Like, as soon as he comes out saying, "Did you enjoy it?" He was like, "Yeah, Jokeres was wicked today, bloody blast." It was, he's just the same as in person. It's not a front. You can see that he's a true Sky Blue, which is from his dad. So shout out to him for some of the songs he made.
Shout out to the new email as well.
Yeah, and the new email that just come through as well. But yeah,
is that a bit of transfer news? Breaking transfer news on the pod.
That was just in time,
11th hour.
Doug King's Nan's cat dog coming through, that is. But yeah, no, it's been quiet, to be fair. I thought Robbins might make a few post-match comments, but he didn't really say much. I think he's just kind of keeping quiet on it now. But I maybe think there might be a bit more flying around this week, but we'll just have to wait and see. But I think it's coming to the point now where he doesn't want to rush them. You can see we've got a good core. It's just about adding those extra three or four bodies, really, that we need to get in. But like we all know with Robbins anyway, he'll push, but he's not impatient when it comes to just, right, let's get him over the line for the sake of it. He likes to be very certain. Like, they'll have their four that they want, and then obviously they'll have backups as well, but I guess he'll be trying as hard as he can along with the chief executive, etc., and trying to get those over the line over the next couple of weeks before the window shuts.
Are you concerned about how quiet that is, Dave, in regards to sort of incomings? I mean, he said he wants another four. Are you confident in both, like, we'll get that and, you know, that's going to be enough?
I'm not sure we'll get four more in, to be honest. Or if we do, there might be some loans, but that sort of market feels like it's probably, it's, you know, expiry now, really, you know, of what's going to be left. I don't know, it's a tough one. You don't want to rush these things. You just hope that they know who they wanted and they were waiting for funds to free up, and therefore now it's just getting, you know, sorting out the fucking agents, because that's the main thing, that is
the crux of everything, isn't it?
Exactly. So hopefully that's what it is. They had their targets. They were waiting for funds to become available. They were obviously confident, I think, at the start of the season, during the summer, going back even at the end of last season, that Hamer could be moving on, more than likely would be moving on. So I think they've probably got their targets set. They just now need to do the actual get them over the line. So that's what I'm hoping.
The wheeling and dealing, shall we say. Dalboy.
Which has gone very well recently. You know, it's gone very well this summer. This is the best wheeling dealing we've done.
And there is money available now. I watched the NBC feed of the Sheffield United game just to see how Hamer got on. And they reported £17 million was the fee. So that's
upfront,
more than...
Presumably not.
That's more than what, you know, everybody speculated over here. So the Americans don't tend to get that sort of stuff wrong from past experience as well. So that's quite exciting. Like, that's way more than what I thought we'd get for Gus. So there's money to play with, Ross.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I mean, at one point we were seeing stuff like 8 million, weren't we, and stuff like that. But it was, I think it does all come down to the fact of, obviously, he had a year left, but so did Jokeres. But I think what helped us in this situation was the team that bought him were kind of panic buying themselves, because obviously I don't really think they'd have entered the market. I think they'd have gone for that boy Souza that they've got and then kept Sander Berger if they could have. But obviously, because they lost him, it was almost like, right, who's available? And obviously, they've played against Hamer for a couple of years in the Championship. Heckingbottom's not daft, and he knows he's a sought-after player, and he probably looked at it and thought, well, we've got promotion money, we've got money that we've generated from Ndai, from Berger, we've got money, they've got money as a club anyway, so we may as well chuck 15, 17 million, whatever it may be, and just ask what Coventry wants. And from what I've heard as well, there is actually a sell-on clause in there, isn't there, as well, which is another good thing that we've done, is we've never had any sell-on clauses for players. It's like Jokeres has got a release clause, and I think we've got a red 20 to 25% of that when he gets sold on. So these little things all add up massively for our future, because if Jokeres has a stormer of a season this year, as an example, and then gets his release clause, that someone obviously activates it in the summer, straight away we get 25% of, say, 70 million euros or whatever it is. So it's adding these extra little bits in that are clever business for us as a club, even thinking into next summer, as well as the current assets we've got that we can sell and hopefully will improve this year, which will make us money in years to come as well. So yeah, it is shrewd business by us.
I think it's a very important point you make there, because ideally we want both of those players to do really well this year. I mean, the good thing is, if Sheffield United get relegated and Gus has a good season, a solid season, then it's more likely he's going to get sold straight away next summer.
In my opinion, he's too good for that team anyway.
Yeah, that's the reason why I said it's a negative move for him.
Yeah, his goal is evident. I mean, I was in the gym at the time on Friday, and there was a guy.
I don't believe that.
Shock.
No shock there. But I was in the gym, and he's a Villa fan actually, and he was doing cardio, and obviously he was watching the game on his phone, and all of a sudden I just heard, "Oh, Rossi's done it," and I just thought, "Please no!" And done his ACL or something. No, I'd never wish that on him. I'm not that out of order. But yeah, he said, "Oh, he's whip one in top bins," and I just thought when he said it, I thought, right, it's not going to be as good as what he thought. So he literally just controlled it, just whipped it. And I just thought, thing is though, how many times did he get in a position like that for us and it hit the bar or something would happen and it just never went in? But first try for them, it just whipped straight
apart from that Luton goal, wasn't it? That Luton one away, that's kind of the only one I can really remember that went in. Yeah,
we as fans now, Doug King will know, Robbins has already made it evidently obvious that what he wants. We need to spend that money and get four more players in before the end of the window, and I think if we get that, we'll be in a strong position, because I just said our bench, we had four good players on there, but then we had Brad Stretton, Ryan Howley and the two other youngsters on there, and it's just like, we need to sort of deviate past that point now of where it's four more players that are just like, boom, right, every single position is covered and we can really make an impact on whatever he does and on the style of the game and etc. So yeah, we're in a good position.
Yeah, well, we'll come on to that suspension, sort of the subsequent second half changing during the Swansea game. It's time to find some new heroes now in this Coventry City side. The less talking about Gus, the less talking about Vic, the better, I would say, for our own sake as fans. So let's move on to this Swansea game. Two changes for the Sky Blues. Sims and Palmer were out of the... Well, Palmer being out of the matchday squad. Hajiwright and Sakamoto into the team. Palmer was rumoured early to be injured, but actually confirmed by Robbins that it was just a family issue. So that's good news, because he started off the season brightly. I know you don't think so, Dave. He's already got a wry smile on his face. But I think he started off the season pretty brightly. And to be honest, we can't really afford to lose attacking midfielders. You know, it was a huge hole last year, which... we sort of played to our advantage in the end, but you know, the way we want to play this season, we need those attacking midfielders rocking and rolling, shall we say.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we spoke before the Wimbledon game, and you only have to make one comment online sometimes, and in other people's heads, it gets turned into like a big, massive, you know, like, I hate Casey Palmer. Of course I don't hate Casey Palmer. Like, I want him to have the most amazing season imaginable, right? Because if he does, that we're gonna, you know, as a club, have an amazing season.
Was that one of the most replied to posts of yours on Twitter ever?
Probably, because I'm not really on there that much, to be honest. Probably for this reason. But no, he's an amazing player. I just felt that he's probably the only player that's going to be able to make the difference for us in this early season until Cal O'Hare's back. You know, we haven't now got Hamer that can ping balls to get us sort of on the attack. We're going to have to run with it and, you know, pop people through. And don't get me wrong, he gets some really great through balls. And I just feel that sometimes he makes the wrong decision. Look, every footballer does that. I just felt at times he was more, you know, doing that more than perhaps others. But we need him back, because clearly we didn't have the pace this week. And that pace element's big. Sakamoto, brilliant, you know, brilliant feet, but he isn't the paciest of players. And I think we probably missed Palmer's physicality.
Yeah, that power to get away from the middle of the park, right? Yeah.
But I've been asking for Sakamoto to have a start in that 10 role if there was a chance. And, you know, clearly Wright was a very obvious choice as well, right? Robbins, is he scored last week. And, you know, Sims, perhaps, you know, it's still taking a bit of time to get up to speed, and it made sense. And so I think they were pretty obvious, but once we found out about it wasn't an injury and it was, you know, a family, you know, issue that's meant that he's not been able to sort of be in the matchday squad. Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious changes. And yeah, I think it's good for Wright to start getting some starts.
Yeah, and some good early exchanges, Ross, from both teams, shall we say. Hajiwright got a couple of great chances, didn't he, early on? You just want to see a bit more conviction, but I think that will come in time. He struck that ball beautifully, didn't he, across the face of the goal as well.
Yeah, I really like him. I'm a massive fan. I think in terms of replacing the Gyökeres-esque type of player, he's probably the closest that we were going to get to the money that we have available in terms of everything. I mean, I've said it before, he's not as, in terms of skillful as Gyökeres with the ball at his feet in terms of when he stands someone up, but he looks faster than Gyökeres, to be honest. He's very, very quick. Like that really took me by surprise in the Middlesbrough game and also this game. It was like, God, he is actually lightning. If we get the ball in behind to him, he is going to be a problem.
That's the thing. The ball in behind, he's made some fantastic runs and nobody has picked him up so far. And it's very, very frustrating.
It is. And I think the Sakamoto one, I've been saying the whole summer that I thought he was going to play the 10. And one of my mates was like, no, he's a wing back. He plays out wide. And obviously he come on against Middlesbrough and did well. And he's played there a few times. But I was pleased to see Sakamoto at the 10. I think with him, he is fast. I think it's just going to take him a bit of time to, one, get used to how we play. And two, obviously as well, like the physicality is one of the main things. Out wide, he's going to get a lot more time on the ball than he is in the middle of the pitch. As we know, as a 10, you're either receiving the ball on the half turn or you're getting it and trying to find pockets of space. And that's very different to just receiving a pass from, say, Palmer and then taking your man 1v1. It's a very different aspect of a role. So I think wing back in terms of going forward, he'll be fine, but it's going to take him a few more games to find his feet in that position. So I won't really judge him too much on that. I've seen a lot of people in the week saying, oh, I wouldn't drop Sims. It's going to ruin his confidence. And I just thought, well, that's not the case, because Godden, as we all know, I've said to get rid of Godden. I'll happily admit that. Don't wrong. I'm pleased he's doing really well. I'm pleased he's finding the net. I do like the guy. I think he's a really good finisher on his day. But we all know Godden will get injured at some point. It has literally been Godden's story of his career. He will have a good run and then he will get injured. And we basically need to try and keep him fit. So by playing him every week or on a Tuesday,
well, we don't
or Saturday,
have any midweek games until after the international break, which it's total contrast to last season where we had to fit every fixture in because of the pitch and the World Cup.
Insane,
so we've got space to, you know, give people rest. You know, there is going to be opportunity for that. I'm glad you spoke up about Sakamoto, really, because I don't think he's a wing back personally. I think he can play there.
Yeah, I do. I think it's
but
more
he's not.
Of a
that's not his position.
Milan Van Ivac, however you say his name, is our wing back. There's a reason we spent $4 million or whatever it is on him. And Robbins has said in his pre-match interview, didn't he? He said the reason we bought in Tats, I'm going to nickname him, is because he's very versatile. He can play on either wing back, so he can play right or left because he can cut in on either feet. And he can play as a 10. So it's a versatile type of player. He can play in multiple positions. So we're not just going to see him as, oh, he's going to play wing back every week.
I actually think he's going to be better with two 10s.
Yeah.
With one up front.
O'Hare and Palmer, or Sakamoto and Palmer will be a nice combination.
Or even Sakamoto and O'Hare. I just like to see the intricacy and the passing ability between the both of them.
One thing they both say, isn't it? Well, Robbins has said, and some of the players, is he's very technically good. He's a very he's like a technical magician type of player. And we can see that from the fake shots. Although they're not the fanciest things he's probably got in his book, you know he's got skill, the way he just literally faints past someone. So,
well, Dave, you add in Hadji Wright's runs as well. You know, those passing and the moves through the lines, it could be, you know, a real catalyst for success.
Those players will help Sims, in my opinion, as well, because they can do all the intricate work and Sims just needs to stand in the box and just get past the ball and he's going to poach it and score. That's his job. He's nothing like Wright in terms of, we've not bought Ellis Sims to be running into channels. We've bought him in to be able to hold up the ball because he's a big, strong boy, and to put the ball in the net. And I think once he gets one, he'll have a lot of confidence. And to be honest, I can see that happening this weekend. So fingers crossed for him.
Your thoughts on that, Dave?
I'm not sure. Yeah, Sakamoto is not defensive enough for me. So I don't think he's ever going to be an out-and-out sort of wing-back.
He wasn't even defensive enough yesterday in the 10 role, I thought. I don't think he tracked back enough even there.
Exactly. So I think, but I agree, O'Hare and Tats together with one up top. And you're absolutely bang on about Wright. He makes some really intelligent runs. Seeing him play at Wimbledon, like close to the pitch up front, you could see him making those runs and you could see that he was going to start doing that all season. We've just got to find his feet. And you know, that's why I'm probably critical of people like Palmer and Tats, because they're the only ones that are going to be able to link that play up, I guess. And that's what we need to see. But
Well, talking of linking up, the first goal, Matty Godden, you've mentioned him already. This was a brilliant goal. great play from the back to the front. Very patient, worked it well. And we went backwards as well. You can work it through the lines. And we did it so well here. The front three all involved. Tats into right. Right layoff. Was it a layoff? I think it was a miscontrol, really. But it's foul to Godden, Dave. And he's put it away.
Yeah. And like Godden from that range is pretty lethal, you know, to be honest. Great
strike. And the aeroplane back in service.
Yeah, I was going to say, the aeroplane's been dusted off. I'm glad to see the, you know, the old silence is celebration relegated, hopefully to not be seen again this season. Because, but Godden's such a great finisher of the ball. Right place, right time, isn't it? He's always sort of hovering around those little pockets inside the box. And great strike, kept it low, done everything he had to do, and is the man that got the goal again. He's in the right place at the right time. And it's no mystery or coincidence that he's in that sort of role. He just knows where balls fall, and he's always active and looking for it.
It's no less than what we deserved at that point as well. I thought we were the team with the sort of the ascendancy at that point, and you know, the only thing missing was a goal, really, and we got that.
Absolutely. We looked I thought we looked very in control, to be honest. I was really impressed with us. You know, they've just come off the back of a 3-0 loss, I think it was. And you know, going away from home, we've set up sometimes a bit negatively, one up top in the previous seasons, quite defensively, but we took the game to them, we controlled it. We were the ones, like you say, that were making the sort of, you know, the creating the best chances, keeping the ball well. And it wasn't, yeah, we deserved that goal. And just a shame, wasn't it, that not long after that, I'm sure what you're going to talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about the goal in a second, but I'm glad you brought that up as sort of like how we dominated, because 60% possession versus Swansea. You know, not many teams will go to that stadium this season and come away with 60%. And I know it's a different Swansea side this year under Duff, but that's still impressive to me. You know, that shows that real change in style, reverting to that possession-based style of play, is working really well. And the space that the wing-backs found yesterday was the epitome of that. It was like open season, really, for Van Avac and De Silva.
We're going to have to play like that. We've lost that sort of 60-yard pass, right, from Hamer. We're going to have to play through teams. And we keep saying Callaghan. And once he does come back, he'll fit into this.
You know, play the klaxon, because he's back on the grass with a football, from what I saw today. So that's encouraging signs.
Exactly. Once he gets back, it's going to be great, I think. Look, we're playing football again. I keep saying it, but it feels like that League One football where we used to play through teams in that box formation.
Champagne football.
It's lovely. absolute Robin's
ball.
Well,
probably not champagne in League One, more sort of like, you know, wispy
Bucks Fizz.
UK Prosecco. Warm as well.
Carver. Dean, you don't even know what Carver is, do you? No. So used to these golf events.
I go big time, Dave. Only drink the good stuff. Moet. Thank you. what was he talking about?
Just the fact that,
oh yeah, great, you know, football. Great football.
Yeah, great football. And I think that's what we'll need this season massively, because we're not going to be able to break, you know, on the break teams by spraying these passes. Sheaf's got a good pass in him, but not the same sort of Hamer-esque balls, right? So we're going to need to keep the ball. 60% possession, like you say, against Swansea, well-drilled team. They're not going to be as bad as they were last season. I think they already look much better organised. I know they lost the week before, but I think they're going to, you know, be half decent. And yeah, I thought it was a really good opening performance.
Comparing benches as well, they've got a brilliant squad, haven't they? Ross, Swansea. They should be, you know, doing much better than, you know, what people expect of them this year. You'd have to imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised we went there and got on the ball. I know we're obviously trying to do that, but I mean, obviously, Russell Martin's a very unique style of player. As you can see what he's trying to do at Southampton now. Obviously, he's got a lot more better standard calibre of players to do it with, but he's always tried to play a specific way from the days of MK Dons to then Swansea and now at Southampton. So I think even Latty said that in the week, didn't he? He said it's a very unique style that not really
a lot of nicknames here. We've got Latty, we've got Tats.
I don't even want to try and pronounce his name. Latty Baudet, is that how you say it?
Latty Baudet.
That's the one, Natty Birdie, yeah. So yeah,
yours sounds like some sort of chocolate I'd pick up at the airport with my spare euros.
It'd be a knockoff from Aldi,
in the Mallorcan or Spanish airport. Could I get a bar of Latte Baudière, please?
I think it sounds more French to me, Latte Baudière, doesn't it?
He's got a twang to it, hasn't it? Definitely got a little twang to it, but
Not for you. It's just
Latte. I'll just stick to Latte and Tats, I think. I'm not the manager, are I?
One or two syllables, more than enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, he said in the week, didn't he? He said that they play differently. But I watched Barnsley a bit last year. I remember I watched them in the playoff final as well. And they play football. They do also go direct, which is why I think they've obviously gone with two up front, whereas it used to be kind of just Pirro up front on his own a little bit more last year. But yeah, I mean, with a midfield of Patino, Grimes and Fulton, you'd expect them to be on the ball quite a lot. And obviously, we know how good Matt Grimes is. I've spoke about Patino before. He's a very highly rated player. And Jay Fulton's not a bad player at this level. So to go there and actually dominate the ball as much as we did shows obviously what we're trying to do this year, and obviously fair play to Eccles. I mean, he's not Hamer's level, but he's doing a job in there at the moment, and he's obviously, I think what Robbins likes about him is he's got a bit of balls about him, hasn't he? He will try and get on the ball and find it in tight positions. He doesn't just kind of stand there and expect Ben Sheaf to always get on it. I think when I've watched him, especially at Middlesbrough, he was always trying to get on the ball and make things happen and play out from the back, which is why I think Robbins does like him in there.
It's a really good point, that, because he can't really afford to have too many safe players. You know, like we saw that when Kelly came on. You know, I know he's a defensive-minded player, it's totally different, but he plays very safe balls, right?
You wouldn't find Kelly trying to get on the half turn and play out from the back, whereas Josh Eccles will happily say to Fads, give me the ball on the half turn and let's try and play. So that's the difference. And Kelly could be the safe option, but I think Robbins knows that Kelly is more of just someone to bring on or stand in if needs be, and he's not really going to be a starter, whereas I think Eccles is doing quite well at the moment. So, yeah, obviously,
apart from taking corners, do not let that man near a corner flag ever again.
We're struggling, aren't we, a little bit? Casey Palmer took some absolutely lethal corners, didn't he, when he was playing, but we were struggling this weekend with that.
I'm not sure why Jay De Silva doesn't take them. He's got a really good dead ball delivery.
He took one, didn't he, towards the end, did he? No.
I think he took the last one.
According to Cobb Twitter, we may as well not play De Silva because he's rubbish, apparently. Apparently, he's no better than Bidwell, and we should just go back to Bidwell and not play De Silva there anymore.
Well, let's talk about their goal then, because, you know, the fingers have been pointed at Jay De Silva. And for me, perhaps rightly so, because I think he's a little bit too tight to his man, too far up the pitch. There's no need to be that tight where you are. And he just gets turned, ball in behind. And Yates, I mean, does he miss the ball with his head? It looks like it comes off his shoulder and sort of loops in slow motion.
I think Fads should have been a bit tighter to him as well. I'm watching it as well. I don't think Fads was
too... I've seen that on Twitter a lot.
It's the gamble, though, isn't it, for Fads? You know, does he go with a man or try and cover the space? And, you know,
I think
what do you do?
I think the thing is with De Silva as well, you've got to remember, he's played in a back four for a lot of time now. So it's going to take him a bit of a while to get used to the wing-back role. And it's only really his third league game that he's played for us, isn't it, really? Do you know what I mean? So it's gonna take him. He's not going to be at the level that we want him to be within three games of playing. The more he gets used to playing and the more he's in that position, the quicker he's going to adapt to it. A classic example was Norton Cuffey. Like, remember Cuffey when he first signed to us? He was all over the place, wasn't he? But then within 3 months of him being with us, you could tell that he learned that positioning and where we expected him to be. Vice versa with De Silva. There's a reason that loads of teams wanted De Silva in this league before we did. It's because he's a good player at this level. He's a good wing back. And when we played Bristol City for years, I've always said, I like that De Silva. He's a really good player. And over time, he's only going to get better. So for people to be writing him off already, I think is crazy. Because I think
that's Cough Twitter in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yeah.
He was at fault, though.
You can point fingers. That's fine. But that's like one mistake he's made. I mean, in four games and... You know, for a guy who's 5 foot fuck all, he wins a lot of headers, doesn't he? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he wins a lot. I mean, if we're going that far, Bobby Thomas was at fault for the Leicester goal when we conceded to Kieran Drewsby-Hall. gave the ball away and then didn't mark his man in the box.
Second coming of Christ, according to Twitter.
Yeah. So is Bobby Thomas now a bad player because he gave a goal away? He's not, is he? It's just people.
I saw him earlier on turning fishes and loaves into.
Yeah, it's just people's opinions are just crazy. Like, don't get me wrong, I've been wanting to be negative, but after three games of writing someone off, I won't be judging this team till November, Tom, once they've had a good few months together and the window closes. This, at the minute, we're really just finding our feet. So the fact we're playing this well after a couple of games and they've not really got to know each other is only positive signs to me. And I think every team we've played so far, Leicester, Borough and Swansea, all their fans on Twitter said they'll be a really good side this year and they'll be up there. So to have that after three games, and especially someone like Leicester who have £100 million sat on their benches, says everything I need to know, to be honest. And I trust our manager that's took us from League Two to the Championship and within a kick away of the Premier League more than I do someone on Twitter to judge that right.
One thing we can all agree on is how bad Robert Madley was as the man in the middle yesterday. I mean, I hate to bring up the officials three games into the league season, but that was just a pathetic performance. And that was for both sides. We got away with stuff. Swansea got away with a hell of a lot more. I mean, Sakamoto could probably put in a few claims for GBH yesterday. It was absolutely pathetic, some of the challenges on him.
And then the one that he absolutely took him out, and then it was like, well, it's either a foul or a corner. Like, I'd choose one.
Not a goal kick. I know we talk about officials a lot, and I don't really know the answer other than, you know, bringing in some kind of technical assistance.
But then you look at
VAR in the Premier League and it's an absolute mess. So, you know, is it just one thing we've got to live with? But you think with all the money in the game, you can't really just carry on the way it is. I mean, that second half yesterday, it was so poor, in all honesty. It was a total contrast to the first half. And I think it was all down to the officiating. There was no flow to it at all. You let so much stuff get away. Yeah. We built so much ascendancy in that. We had four corners in a row. They come to nothing. But he was just dying. He was desperate to give a foul for something. And he gave a foul for the smallest little thing.
World of ChatGPT, AI, robots, let's get a couple of them in. The Premier League must be working on something that's going to filter into us. And we'll just get a couple of, like, bicentimal man just running around in the middle
like
of the park.
Like iRobot.
iRobot.
And then they come and take over the world. Then Will Smith's got to come in to save the day.
But I don't know what the answer is, but it is poor. But I don't know, it's tough, isn't it?
It is. It's not an easy job. We get that, but there's, you know, it's chalk and cheese, some of the actual decisions to make, right?
They don't get much help from their assistants either. They never want to make a decision. They all, you know, they're stood right next to throw-ins and stuff and often look
at the
referee to make a decision. Then they put their flag up, you think.
I mean, and also we talked about the bench earlier. I mean, that second half was sort of crying out for a spark, wasn't it? And that's where you start to miss the likes of Gus, who can create something out of nothing in a game that's just really there for the taking, Ross. I mean, you mentioned the bench. Just a massive hole really there in terms of a game changer, especially the top end.
Yeah,
of the pitch.
I think obviously that's the difference when you start right and you start Sakamoto. If it doesn't work with them at the minute, we've got no impact. Whereas the middle of the game was very vice versa. We started well without them and then we brought them on and they made an impact straight away. I think that's obviously the sticky side of what Robbins is obviously going to look at the moment. It's like, right, okay, so if we're winning a game without them and then we bring them on, we know they'll change the game instantly. But if they start and nothing's happening, then what do I do? And it's like, well, he had Binks, Bidwell, Collins, and who else was on the bench? I can't remember, but then it was like four youngsters.
Kelly and four kids, yeah.
Yeah, and then it was Ketanot. But those four players that are good level are all defensive players, every single one of them. So in terms of attacking the game, we're looking at Brad Stretton, Ryan Howley, the other tall boys, Justin Owabiku, or however you say his name. And then
you've not got a nickname for him yet?
Owie. We'll call him Owie. But yeah, it's just like, you know, in that situation, realistically, if you had Alan O'Hare and even someone like Tavares to bring off the bench, they impact the game a little bit differently to what those four younger guys do. And then obviously you include them three or four signings that we get that are probably going to be that a midfielder, say another striker or something, it makes a total difference to the game, doesn't it? And you can impact the game completely. Obviously, Sims as well was on the bench, but in terms of the rest of it, we didn't really have anyone bar Sims that we could bring on. And it does make a massive difference if you can make two or three substitutions rather than one and go a different way about how you're playing and make tactical changes in game. Like Robin said, I think they will change formation in game. But as you mentioned earlier on, Dean, they have the bench to do it. Currently at the minute, we have a good start in 11, but in terms of actually impacting the game attacking-wise, we don't have anyone. Defensively,
That has been the way, though, for Coventry City teams for, you know, a good 3 or 4 years.
Defensively, we're fine. If we need to bring on someone that we can to shore up a game, perfect. But in terms of impacting a game and actually bringing someone on, if I'm the away team or I'm the away manager and you're just seeing four youngsters, you're thinking, well, if we see them out today, they've not really got anyone bar Sims who they can bring on to affect the game. And I think that's the key element over the next couple of weeks of getting these four players that he wants in and spending that 15, 17 million, whatever it may be, and allocating it so that we're making sure that those four areas, and obviously then O'Hare, Allen and et cetera, to come back, that will make a massive difference in other games and we can then bring them off the bench. So, yeah.
Have we heard anything more about the Jamie Allen situation other than he's just ages away?
I just think he had a heart problem, didn't he? And it's
not been really anything, is there?
I think from what Robbins has said, you can't, you know, with an injury like an ACL, you can kind of put time on it, really, can't you? And say, well, this is when they're going to be back. But I think with him, it all just depends on what his tests are saying, and they have to go day by day. Because like Robin said, it is his genuine, this is his health at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's concerning, really, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a professional footballer. But if I had a heart problem, I would want someone to be concerned about me and not just go, yeah, you're all right, mate. You know what I mean? Go and run around for 90 minutes and be out of breath when you've just been in hospital in a pretty awful condition with a heart issue. So
Jesus, don't let the anti-vaxxers know what's going on. Anyway, a point away from home, Dave, and the champs. Decent return, isn't it? You would take that. You know, in the morning of the game, if you said we'd come away from Swansea with a point, you'd have taken it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Robbins felt the same, that once we got in front, had we have just sat that out and controlled it, I think we would have had more and more chances, as they would have had to have, you know, put more men forward, you know, as the game went on, if they were 1-0 down. So it's a big shame, really, because we were in complete control when we went 1-0 ahead. And then it was just like almost instantly you're conceding, and then you're starting again. You're sort of already saying, right, well, now we'll get back to that sort of football where we'll keep the ball, we'll try and create a chance. If one comes around, great, and we'll try and nick it. But you're not going all out. And that sounds strange, but it's back to a draw again, right? And you're sort of a bit more cagey. Whereas if we had been, you know, 1-0 up and they were pushing men forward towards sort of 60, 70 minutes, there would have been a lot more chances, I think, and a lot more space for Wright and you know, Sims when he came on to run into. So, yeah, one that I think we could have won. But as you say, if you took it in at the start of the day, you would have took a draw away at Swansea and move on.
Right then, man of the matches. Let's start with you, Ross, for your man of the match from this game.
It's quite a difficult one, to be honest. Whenever it's a draw, I always kind of think it's quite hard to pick out an individual to give man of the match to. I'll probably give it to Godden, to be fair. Obviously, he got a goal again, didn't he? He's in a bit of form at the moment. He is playing quite well. I will give it to him. He does look a lot sharper this year as well. He's probably the sharpest Godden that I've seen really since the League One days / first season of the Championship, when he was starting up for us. He's always had injury problems ever since, and he does look quite fit. So I'll give it to Godden.
He alluded to that in his text to Wardy's football friend, before the season started. It was the best he'd ever felt going into a year. So, you know, we're reaping the rewards of that at the moment. So hopefully Matty can keep it going. Dave, you're one of the match?
Yeah, it's hard not to give it to the goal scorer when it's a draw, I think, because there was a few, but there was not like any sort of standout performances. But Sheaf had a great game again, very solid. Eccles, I think, was brilliant. And I thought the two front men were great. I thought Wright was perfect. I worry for Sims in a way that I thought he was a bit of a hold up player, and actually Wright seems to be holding the ball up, or flicking it on as being that sort of frontman just as well as Sims does, but probably offers a little bit more in behind as well. So he's a bit more of a complete player, really, and probably a more natural fit for Godden. So yeah, a bit of a tricky one for Sims. So, but yeah, Godden, special mentions to the other lads.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right then, a week on Tuesday, the Meet the Players night is back at the Skyview Tavern. I'll be there. Ross will be there. Ross Cooper, that is, not Ross Spence. And we'll be joined by none other than Liam Kelly, the skipper of the Sky Blues, and Haji Wright as well. Tickets have unfortunately sold out, but hopefully we'll bring you some of the best bits from the evening on the following week's podcast. But Dave, that should be a good night, you know, two nice guys, one the probably the oldest serving player and one the newest member of the team as well.
Yeah, I think it's good to get Haji Wright into a supporters sort of environment, I guess, like as soon as he's sort of through the door. I think that'd be good for him, and obviously great for the fans to be able to meet him and meet and greets and all of that.
His song is going to go absolutely ballistic in that tavern. Can't wait for it.
No, it's going to be a fantastic event. Like, all of the events down there have been brilliant. Such a great backdrop with all of the memorabilia and all of that stuff. I think it's brilliant. So yeah, it's going to be another good night. Sold out very, very quickly again. A bit of a word of warning for future ones, that if you're thinking about joining, you know, any of the future ones this season, there's loads more planned, that, you know, it's sort of things on buzzers time, right?
Because you've got to get those notifications on. The Sky Blues Extra notifications.
But it's true, you know, you want as many people to join as possible, but there's only so many seats, and it sold out in under an hour again. It was really quick again, wasn't it? So
And also probably a good thing to say is that in a change to last year, under 18s can come to these events now, as long as they're with an adult, because last year it wasn't allowed. You know, that was the policy of the tavern, and they've changed it, which is great. You've mentioned that getting the younger fans more involved, great opportunity to meet the skipper and you know, hopefully the newest hero as well in Haji.
Yeah, exactly. And just on that point, we're talking about events at the tavern. Recently this week, I caught up with Terry Gibson. To talk about some special events that he's doing, obviously also at the tavern. It's 40 years since that memorable hat trick against Liverpool. I spoke to him this week, and this is what he had to say. I am joined with Terry Gibson, the scorer, obviously, of that memorable hat trick, and is actually why Terry has joined us on the Sky Blues Extra podcast today to talk a little bit like that. But Terry, how's everything been with you first? All good?
Yes, very well, thank you. Yeah, no, glad the football season's up and running again. So my weekly trips to Spain, out to Barcelona to work for La Liga, have recommenced, and back to work. So it's a long summer, and like most people, miss football.
Yeah, exactly. And we obviously had you on the Sky Blues Extra podcast a little while back now, quite a long time, but we had a really good reception to that podcast. I think it was great because it was so many stories from yesteryear. We heard, obviously, about the late, great Cyril Regis and some other players that you played with at that time. And we've obviously seen recently on social media that you're kicking off some events of your own to sort of relive some of those memories again.
Yeah, it came about. It's something I've done for other people in the past. I've guested on Tottenham Hotspur evenings with Ozzy Ardiles and Steve Perriman and people like that, and they do a lot of them. And I've guested on Spanish evenings with where we talk about La Liga and Spanish football. And never really thought about doing one just based around something that happened in my career. But this year, it's 40 years. It's flown by.
Exactly.
So I thought 4-0, Liverpool, 4-0. And I wasn't considering it until I came up for the recent Legends Day, which was the first time I'd been able to attend.
Yeah.
And was blown away, really, really blown away by the affection from the supporters. It's a long time ago and you think you're a distant memory and people don't remember it. I often see with the social media now, you know, it's more prevalent every year on December the 10th, someone does tweet it and people do talk about it. And I'm thankful.
It gives much more access, doesn't it, social media now, for people to interact with players like yourself. Whereas, like you say, a lot of it was sort of not relegated to the archives, but you'd have to go and find it on YouTube or something like that. But with social media, there's so much more conversation around these big talking points. And not many people score a hat-trick against Liverpool. So.
No, and the reason behind it is not just the hat-trick, it's the stories behind the game as well. And about 6 months ago, I knew I had it, but it was buried in the back of a trunk in the back of the garage, the match ball. And dug it out, and it was all folded in half. And I thought, there's no hope for this. Pumped it up, and it still stayed pumped up. The autographs are still there. It's now in a case. And I just thought, it was a special moment in my career. I'm thankful that people remember it. And when I came back up for the Legends Day, people were asking me to sign the programs.
Yeah.
People kept people who were in their 40s now, at the time were children, still had replica shirts, children's sizes that they kept all these years, and I signed 3 or 4 of those.
Amazing.
And I was just blown away by how much it meant to people that were there at that time supporting Coventry, were at the game that day. And I just thought, you know what, it's something that I'm proud of that happened in my football career, and why not share some fun evenings with people that were at the game or know about the game, and you bring the match ball along. It's not one of those events where people have to pay for extra for a ticket to have an autograph or a picture of the ball. The ball will be there, it'll be thrown about, people can have a picture done with it. And, you know, it's I want to share the memories that we had, and it's the story behind that team as well. We had 9 new players that team.
Yeah.
That day, and a manager, Bobby Gould, and I think it was only a couple of the 11 that had played, 2 or 3 had played against Liverpool before.
Yeah, incredible.
And the way the season went after that as well was bonkers. I've done some analysis on it to put my pundit hat on.
Great.
And the run we had towards the end in the second half of the season after this new group of players coming together and doing so well, they'd completely falling apart and the reasons behind it. And having to win, and in typical Coventry fashion, the last game of the season to stay up. So the whole thing was the whole season was weird, and so many stories about there was loads of us. I think it was 11 of us at one time staying in the same hotel because we'd all been new signings. And, you know, stories like that, people like Sam Allardyce turning up out of the blue and where, you know, so we've all got a different story and a different journey. The plan is to have 4 evenings with 4 different guests.
Okay.
And we've all got different stories about, you know, how we ended up at Coventry in that particular game. So Nicky Platner is the first one. I specifically chose someone who scored the other goal.
Of course.
He's making an outlandish claim about the goal and the game, which people will find out in the evening.
Great.
And someone like Nicky, who hasn't been around the club for a long, long time. I asked him when the last time he went there, and he said it was to see the Arctic Monkeys many years ago. So I've seen pictures of him. The blonde hair has disappeared, like most of our hair has. But it'd be, you know, interesting to hear, having a chat on the phone with him, his story of how he came to, you know, to be playing against Liverpool. We were lucky; it was on Match of the Day. It was everything just came together in that one
Absolutely.
Match and. You know, a club like Coventry, we have to go through a lot of suffering to have the high moments. And that's why, you know, it's not Man City, it's not Chelsea, Man United or Arsenal or Chelsea where they're winning trophies all the time. We, you know, obviously the FA Cup final is the pinnacle of being a Coventry fan. But you pick and choose those other moments. Peter Undove's hat-trick, Mickey Quinn's hat-trick against Arsenal.
Yeah.
You have the, you know, the survival battles against relegation that stand in the memory. So, it's not like one of those clubs where, you know, you've got loads of trophies that all get jumped, the seasons get jumbled up. These special moments happen, you know, every so often. Not often enough, of course, but, you know, it's 40 years. And you know, people keep talking to me about it. It's lovely to have that memory that you've left with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you know, the idea is to come up and have fun. And hopefully at the Sky Blue Tavern, it is the perfect place. It really is. The memorabilia that's all around there, a collaboration between the club and the brewery. And
of course.
Why not? You know, people know where it is. And yeah. You know, hopefully we can get along. And people, you know, I've got three other dates penciled in, but it all depends on the first one.
Okay. Hopefully and the first one is scheduled for, just remind us, Terry, and how people can book tickets, obviously, for the event. I'm sure they can all follow you, first of all, on socials, if they don't already, to keep updated with what's happening. But just remind us of that date and perhaps how people can book, or nearer the time, how they'll be able to book.
Yeah, the first one is September the 13th, so not that far away. So, and that's with Nikki Plattner and Brian Roberts.
I'm not going to say unlucky Harry for Roberts. Some, Terry.
No, what I've done with penciling in these dates, if they work, great. We'll move on to the next one.
Yeah, brilliant.
Would be Bobby Gould.
Yeah.
So he can tell us where he found all these players, Stuart Pearce, and playing for Willstone next minute, playing for against Liverpool. And if it goes well, then we'll do, you know, three or four of them. More. So
yeah,
Bobby Gould is penciled in as the second one. But Nikki Plattner, I thought, would be great. And Brian Roberts is going to be the host.
Oh,
and
nice.
Harry played in that game as well.
Of course.
He was one of the two players that was already at the club. So you can imagine his story where we're only in December and he's got nine new teammates and a new manager.
Yeah.
And all his mates have left the club. There's not many left behind. So that's a different story to hear from Harry as well. So Harry's going to be the host. And, you know, tickets can be got from my website. That's where the place to get them, which is terrygibbo.com.
So fantastic.
Quite,
nice and easy.
Quite straightforward. Yep, yeah. Quite straightforward. So September the 13th is the first one. I'm looking forward to it. And I just hope there's enough people to make it a fun evening.
Absolutely. So
fingers crossed. Well, one of these things where, you know, ones I've done in the past for other people, someone else has done all the organising and paid people and stuff like that. And now now I've chosen to do it. So hopefully the first one's a success and then we'll follow on the rest. So Mickey Gin and Dave Bennett have penciled in as well.
Brilliant.
Agreed to get involved in the later ones. So Ginny's got so many. Probably people don't know the type of personality Ginny was.
You've told us, before, and I'm sure actually on the night hearing that would be absolutely fantastic because he was a proper joker.
It's the driest sense of humour I've ever known on anyone, let alone a teammate.
Yeah.
And he completely had us fooled for so many months on what type of personality he was. But, I mean, even that story, Ginny turned up at Watford on the first day of the season for pre-match meal as a new player. And played and had an unbelievable game and we won. And that kind of sums up that season that players were coming and going and the new manager and just the whole carnage around it and where we ended up by Christmas. And then we had to hang on for dear life at the end of the season and we got beat 5-0 by Liverpool in the second leg and near Rush got four. So they went one better than us. And of course they won the League Cup and the European Cup. So it makes
the
hat trick and the 4-0, you know, a big story. So I promise it will be a fun night because I'm looking forward to catching up with Brian Roberts, Harry Roberts again, and Nikki Plattner.
Yeah.
And Nikki Plattner's a fun personality as well. And we've, you know, lots of funny things we can talk about and serious things as well about, you know, how Nikki ended up from Bristol Rovers because of his relationship with Bobby Gould.
Yeah.
And next minute he's scoring a wonderful diving header against Liverpool.
it does set the scene to be an absolutely amazing night. It's a game that I constantly speak to my dad about, and it's one that we both, you know, bond over in times. We've all watched the YouTube clips, and we'll be there on the night. We'll be looking forward to hearing the stories from yourself, and obviously Mickey. And we just obviously want as many Sky Blues fans to get down there as possible. The tavern, like Terry said, is really, really accessible, really easy to get to, and just the perfect backdrop, really, for such a fun, you know, start, kickoff of events. And we're really looking forward to it. And we're really grateful for you to coming on the podcast and, you know, reaching out to our other Sky Blues fans on this. And I'm sure they'll get behind it because it seems it's going to be an absolutely fantastic time, Terry. Thank you so much for coming on and introducing that. And we look forward to seeing you in September.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, Dave, that was so good to hear from Terry. What a legend. I'm sure the stories are going to be incredible. So, Sky Blue Army, make sure you keep your eye out for those evenings at the Tavern with Terry coming soon. So, keep your eyes peeled for those. So normally we'd look ahead to the next game at this point, which is Sunderland on Saturday. But starting this season, we're going to bring you a bonus episode. One that's closer to the game, which is going to be the preview episode. A bit shorter episode, but hopefully it'll get you more in the mood as we head towards that big game on Saturday. Now, obviously, if we have a midweek game, it might not work the same way. So, again, make sure you've got notifications on Skybeers Extra Twitter and, you know, keep your podcast list updated and subscribe as well, because that's the easiest way to get the next episode of this podcast. Chaps, anything else to add before we wrap it up?
No, I think all good. Looking forward to having those preview pods a little bit later in the week, a little bit closer towards the game. So they're just, like you say, a little bit more on the button. And also trying to get some opposing fans' views, which is always handy, and get them talking about the squad. They obviously know much more than us about how their teams are going and how they're faring. So should get some good insight from them as well.
Ross, anything you want to add? Any last remarks for this evening?
No, mate. Like I said, it's been a good pod, and yeah, nothing really to add. To be honest, it's pretty much gone over everything, haven't we? So yeah, nothing to add, mate.
Nice one. Well, let's wrap it up there. Big thank you to you both for joining me this evening. A big thank you as well to the guys and girls at the Skyby Tavern and Dylan's Brewery for their continued support. We'll see you on Thursday for our brand new preview. But in the meantime, keep across all our socials. Just search Skyby's Extra.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.